Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. Now, if you want to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
Welcome back to Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. Hope you guys are all having a good week. And yeah, I'm Tobias Powell, one of your hosts, joined with Trent Powell, your other host. Trent, how you doing?
Doing great.
Yep.
Here for another Movie Chronicles as we chronicle for you everything going on in news and entertainment and pop culture.
Yep.
I always love doing this. And yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just every week. I think I say this every week, but every week there's always a lot of things to talk about. I swear, yeah. Like there was like five things that came up today that I could talk about. And
it's like, really? Huh.
Yeah.
I might be in the shadows a little bit on some of that stuff, but yeah.
That's all right. I listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff on it.
This yeah.
Type of topic, these type of topics and things.
Nice.
And I'm on Twitter a lot, and I follow a lot of pop culture news, I guess. That's probably where I see a lot of it too.
Yeah.
I usually just take a screenshot or save a photo, like, oh, talk about that. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what I do a lot, screenshots. Yeah. So you want to start us out? What do we got going on?
Yeah, let's start us off on a good note. We don't do this often, and I'm actually curious. I asked you to do this. I don't know if you did do it. It's okay if you didn't. I understand you're busy. I barely had enough time.
I don't remember. Did you watch me do something?
Did you watch The Penguin?
Oh no, I have not.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay, that's okay. I won't spoil anything. But do you mind if I talk about it?
Go for it. Yeah.
So, what was your opinion of the Batman? I'm really curious about that.
I really like it. I mean, yeah. Overall, I like it. There's obviously some problems with it, but I think as far as like the feel of it, the feel of Batman and Gotham and just the
score.
Overall score, cinematography, just incredibly well-made movie. Very similar to like Joker, just very well-made movies, but in and of themselves, there are some issues, but they don't completely ruin the movies for me. So I like those movies.
Yeah.
And Batman I like.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. It's funny, kind of side note, we're soon going to be reviewing the movie 7, and the Batman was inspired by 7, and so it was just funny seeing that connection, because I actually watched 7 this week. So seeing those connections, I was like, we're watching that movie. The Penguin just came out this week, and it came like by storm. Like no one was expecting it. No one was looking forward to it. Like, you know, it's kind of like I've talked about Hunt for Gollum on the show. Like I'm not that excited about Hunt for Gollum. I'm like, why are they making a show about Gollum? And why are they doing this story when there's 100 other things they could do that would be way better? But, you know, I might watch it and enjoy it. That was just an example. But for The Penguin, a lot of people were like, okay, why are we getting a spin-off show of a side character in a mildly successful Batman movie? You know, like it wasn't like a billion-dollar film. It was it got a lot of hype, and there's love and hate, a lot of love and hate for on both sides for it. And one of the biggest praises of the movie was the Penguin. However, he like, as far as the plot goes, the Penguin's really kind of unnecessary for that story, and he kind of just gets sidelined by the end, and it was kind of shoehorned in, it felt like. But Colin Farrell, dude, like, he's unrecognizable as the Penguin. It's incredible what they did with him. Like, if I wouldn't have been told that Colin Farrell was playing the Penguin, I never would have known. Like, in watching the show, you forget who is this again? Oh yeah, it's Colin Farrell. How? and he looks even better in this one. Like, they've got like the prosthetics and the makeup down where like you can't tell. It doesn't like it can you kind of tell a little bit in the movie, but still really good. Anyways, okay, I'm trying to figure out which way to go. People were not like that excited about it. I was like, okay, it's interesting, you know, we'll get to kind of see underground Gotham. So my opinions of the Batman, same as yours, very similar. I love the feel of it. I love the Gotham. I even like Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne and like a young Batman. I don't like the suit very much. I like that it's a detective movie, which is one thing I really want. Is like put my cards on the table. What I really want is a detective show with Batman, a TV show. I don't understand why DC can't just make a Batman TV show. Like, are you kidding me? That they made the Gotham show about, you know, little kid Batman, but he was hardly in it. I mean, sort of about, it wasn't about him. It was about Harvey Dent, not Harvey Dent. Sorry, James Gordon. You have the Gotham show. He becomes Batman at the end, and then the show's over. You have Batwoman. You have all the CW shows. What was the Night? I don't even remember. Gotham Night? Or no, that's a game. I don't know. There was another show. You have now the Penguin.
We have a Superman show.
You have Superman.
Superman and Lois. Yeah,
Smallville. Oh, Superman and Lois. Yep. And I was even thinking Smallville.
Yeah,
but.
Modern stuff, like stuff they're producing. Like, they have a Superman show. Like, why don't they have a Batman?
Yeah. Oh, they have. There's like.
Well, no. I don't understand what they don't have is why they don't have a Nightwing and Robin show.
Oh, like, dude, that'd be so.
Those are like the things you should be making shows about. Why? Yeah. Why'd you make Arrow? Why'd you make Flash? Like, you should have made
Flash,
Nightwing, and Robin.
Like, you know, totally. You know, the CW never made a profit from their TV shows, or just as a studio, they never made a penny overall. Like, I don't even know if they do now, but like all the, like the Flash and Arrow and that whole, the Crisis on Middle Earth. Middle Earth, Infinite Earth, all that, like, they never paid a profit. But anyways, getting off track. I want a detective Batman show. I like what they did with Batman in the Batman in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, second year is Batman. So he's still learning, still growing, dealing with a lot of things that come with that immaturity, or that, you know, there's a lot of room for him to grow as the character of Batman, and to grow as a man, as a hero, and to kind of find out who he is. And they do a great job in the movie, I think, developing that. It just, in the first two acts, I think, were great. The third act, everything just fell apart. I hate what they did with the Riddler, how he, like, he's like an internet influencer with like 50 followers, and he convinces them to go blow up the seawall in Gotham. And it just kind of became a huge mess. And I didn't like Catwoman a whole lot. And.
All right. Are you doing a whole review of this thing or what?
I don't know.
Let's cut to the chase.
There's a lot of things to build up.
We don't
up
want
here,
a
okay?
long night here.
I know. Okay. We don't want a dark night. But we do want a dark night. Okay.
Penguin. Let's get back to the Penguin, yeah.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. It's got similar themes of Joker. Yes, it's like, okay, it's another villain show and movie. There's sympathy, sort of sympathy towards the villain, but I think it does a good job at establishing, like, hey, yeah, he's a villain. He does pretty bad things, and it's just following his rise to power in Gotham. Especially in light of the death of Falcone, right? It was, yeah, Falcone, right? He's the one that died, yeah.
Yeah, so it takes place after.
It takes place after, but there's, like, a lot, you're getting a lot of his back, it looks like you're going to be getting a lot of his backstory. We didn't get a whole, we got some hints of it, but, like, we met his mom and whatnot, but a lot of backstory probably gonna happen in the show. It was a solid show. It, like, there wasn't really any action. There was, like, one car chase scene that lasted for a minute, and but you get to the end of it and you're like, oh wow, there wasn't hardly any action. There's a lot of dialogue, but I was interested, I was engaged, it was intense, it told a story that was coherent and made sense. And it just, by the end, it's like, oh, I want more. I want to know about these characters. I want to see where they go. I want to see more of this world of Gotham in this light. And you compare that to all the other shows, mostly under the brand of Disney, where you have shows like The Acolyte, where you have shows like Agatha, where you have shows like Secret Wars, or not Secret Invasion, sorry, Secret Invasion. And it's like, you have the shows with a lot of action and a lot of things, but they're just boring shows. They terrible dialogue, uninteresting characters, nothing intriguing, nothing that grabs your attention, nothing that keeps you wanting to watch and keep on going. It's just, because you compare it to the first episode of Agatha, which I did watch, and I'll get into that. That the episode was so boring. I didn't care about the characters. I didn't know even. I had no interest of continuing it. And guess what, Tobias? Just so you can. I know this make you happy. I've decided not to watch Agatha because I don't want to give my time to it. I don't care. I'm finishing Rings of Power. They had one episode last night, and then the finale's next week, and then I'm finally can be done with that. But Agatha, I'm just like, I just don't care. It's so stupid. I'll get caught up on, like, what's going on from watching reviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's a stupid show. But you compare the first episode of Penguin and first episode of that, it's like, it's night and day, like, as far as, like, character development. And they're both shows about villains, but one actually tells a coherent story that's interesting and it keeps you engaged, and the other one is just boring gobbledygook following this middle-aged woman trying to learn how to be a witch again, and then more lesbian witches, because that's what Disney's into nowadays.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, you should watch Penguin.
Definitely.
It's like not the greatest thing in the world, but, like, right now it's like, okay, it's an intriguing TV show. It's like, okay, I'll watch it, you know. And
I haven't watched anything new and, like, been excited about it or intrigued, especially TV shows. I haven't like enjoyed a new TV show in a few years, I'd say. Well, I'd say so. Maybe like Stranger Things was the last thing I was excited about.
Stranger, yeah.
That I've been keeping up with. Other than that, like, there's been nothing.
We should do a Stranger Things review when season 5 comes out.
Mm-hmm. Like, all I watch is just old TV shows. Like, there's just nothing worth watching. But I'll check it out for sure.
Through The Office. Yeah.
Are they doing week to week episodes?
Yeah. Yeah. So they released this one on the last one on Thursday last week, and they're moving it to Sundays, I think. So they come out every Sunday from now on. So this episode 2 comes out this Sunday.
Oh, that's weird. Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know. It's garnered a lot of hype. Oh, sorry. What was that?
No, you're good. I was going to change the subject if you wanted to. There's something else you want to say.
Somber TV is a rating system, and they kind of, like, track how many hours or how many households watch TV shows and whatnot. And for the Penguin, what it looks like is they brought in, I think, like 5 million households. Or no, sorry. Within the first few days, it was 3.2 million households watched the Penguin. Do you know how many? How many people tuned into this the premiere of Rings of Power, based on Somber TV?
How many?
900,000. Not even a million.
Wow.
This one, Penguin, a side character from a movie that wasn't super pop, that wasn't, like, you know, very, very successful. a spin-off of a side character from a show that wasn't successful, on a show that no one was really talking about or that interested in, brought in, you know, had 3.2 at least million households watching.
That's crazy. And
Rings of Power, one of the greatest IPs of all time, can't even bring in a million. So, anyways. And it's, you know, and just look at the budget. I don't know what the budget is for Penguin, but I guarantee you it's like it's relatively low. And not that many people have Max. Like a lot more people have Amazon Prime. And the marketing for Rings of Power is way bigger. Like you get on Amazon and it's just everywhere. It's like, oh, Rings of Power, Rings of Power, Rings of Power, and yet no one's watching it. So, anyways.
Hmm. Yeah.
We can change the subject.
So, have you seen the trailer for Thunderbolts?
I saw it briefly. I think I watched it once whenever it came out. What do you think?
It looks much better than the other stuff we've been getting.
Uh-huh.
It definitely has a feel of, like, a lot less CGI. Because it's not... Like, we're finally getting, like, this is street level. This is what we've been wanting for a long time for Marvel. And we're getting some street level. And you can see a difference for sure. So I think in that aspect, it looks good. We're following Yelena. So she's essentially the main character. And
knockoff version of Black Widow.
Yeah. And I think I'm finally going to watch a Marvel TV show here.
It's a movie.
Oh, it's going to be a movie?
Yep, in theaters.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a show.
No. I think it might have been at one point, but it's a movie.
It shows how much interest I've had in Marvel. That's why it looks so much better. Well,
right.
No, probably not. I mean,
it could work as a good TV show.
Yeah. I totally thought it was a show for the longest time.
You'd think it would be like, something like that. Like, why would I guarantee you this movie's not going to make any money.
No, absolutely not.
It's going to probably bomb.
What the heck is with the asterisk too? In the title.
Yeah, they released that at Comic-Con, and it's like, ooh, there's something going on there, but never really explained it, and I'm sure something will be explained so in the movie. I don't know. Bucky was there in the trailer. Cool to see him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I was overall just kind of bored by it. I don't know. There wasn't that much that really hooked me. It was just seemed like a
I'm a really big fan of
spy thriller.
I don't know, because I'm a really big fan of David Harbour, and especially him as Alexei.
Did you watch Black Widow?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. I didn't.
You should watch it. It's actually not the worst.
Okay.
It's actually pretty good. You would like it.
Okay.
I guess I shouldn't say you'd like it. You won't hate it.
Sure, yeah. Based on what we've gotten since then, it might actually be enjoyable.
Yeah. And then the knockoff Captain America, I can't remember his name. I can't remember the guy.
John Walker. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what
I was going to say. You're saying exactly what I was going to say. He was one of the few aspects of the show that he was in, Falcon and Winter Soldier, that I actually liked. Like, he was really cool.
Newsflash for everyone. He did nothing wrong. Even though he was the villain. from the right perspective, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I hate that show.
Yeah, for sure. It was awful.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's cool. David Harbour's cool. Bucky's cool. I know Bucky's in this pretty Well, I think it's supposed to be in it pretty heavily.
Hopefully. I mean, and I don't think so, yeah.
Who was the...
The girl from Ant-Man and Wasp, the villain.
Yeah, the girl from Ant-Man and Wasp.
And what, Taskmaster?
Taskmaster. And
funny thing about Taskmaster. So in Black Widow, do you... I just have heard this. Do you know that how like they kind of did a red herring with Taskmaster? You think it's a dude, and then they reveal at the end it's actually a woman. Because in the comic, it's supposed to be a dude.
Right.
But apparently, the stunt double for the whole movie was actually played by a guy. And if you watch it, you can just tell this is a man like in this suit. And then they take the helmet off or whatever, and it's like, oh, it's a woman. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
but that's how Hollywood views women heroes now. Like they're basically men. Yeah. There's no difference. They just need to act like men. Yeah. They need to get all the opportunities of men. And...
Well, so in the movie, she's actually being the Taskmaster. She's being mind controlled by the villain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she has like literally no control over anything. Actually,
yeah, I'm not saying anything like about the character. I'm just saying the fact that a man play
That's
this
hilarious.
Female superhero,
yeah, or that's female hilarious.
Superpowered woman. It's just
but I feel like we're missing another guy that's in.
Yeah, there's someone else. I don't know who he is or if he's original to this show or movie or if he's
some weird guy. Yeah, his name's like Bob or something.
Oh yeah, Bob. Yeah.
What's it called? Thunderbolts. That's so weird. That's a movie. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know. They must have a lot of hope in this, or a lot of, a lot of hope in it to release it as a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really interesting. But I mean, so. Yeah, I guess that is everybody. Yeah, so we got Taskmaster. So we have the three guys and then four girls.
Girl power.
Well, technically three girls. One of the girls is the lady that's putting it all together.
Yeah.
Like she's like in control of it. But
you can kind of tell they're trying to do like a Suicide Squad thing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Good.
My point is, I kind of disagree. I thought it looked pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think that's mostly because I liked. What's his name? Walker, John Walker.
I think that's his name. Yeah.
And then
not Captain America.
Oh, so we have two Captain America types in this. Huh. I didn't even realize that.
Is Bucky?
No, because of David Harbour's character.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's okay. I see. Yeah,
that's
interesting.
That's funny. But yeah, Bucky's a primary character in this as well, and and so it looks fun. I think it's gonna get ruined having Yelena be the main character. Obviously,
yeah, I mean,
but
it's you can kind of.
So I take it back. I'm not going to theaters to see this. I'll wait till it's on Disney Plus to see it, but I will watch it.
Right. Yeah. Like I definitely will not be seeing it in theaters. I do not care.
Yeah.
Yeah. When does it come out?
I don't know. Let me see.
I'm assuming it's after Captain America.
Brave New World. Ugh. May 5th.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When does Brave New World come out?
Is it like March? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like, and this is a conversation I did want to bring up. And we've kind of briefly talked about it, but like, why is it, and I have my ideas, my opinions, but why is it that we are getting all these villain movies, TV shows, or anti-hero stories, Suicide Squad, Thunderbolts, all these gritty, gray, morally gray heroes, anti-heroes, actual villains. Why is it that we're getting so many of these stories? And some resonate, some connect, some are hits, and people are interested, but also a lot of them not. So, like, right now, Marvel has, well, Agatha, you know. We just got off the Acolyte. The Acolyte was all about the villains, and the Jedi are evil, and these lesbians just want to be themselves and have freedom in the galaxy to brainwash children, and so forth. But and then you get Agatha, where it's just all these witches who are evil. They're villains, and there's no sense of morality. They have not really a moral compass. It's just like there's just a gray morality, you know. And then Thunderbolts, it's like, I'm sure like there'll be heroic elements, but they're all kind of anti-heroes in the movie. So I don't know, like, what have you been your thoughts on that? And it's like, why is it, why we're getting all this? And like the Penguin, so like it's not just Disney and Marvel and Star Wars. It's like the Penguin, the Joker. We have Joker 2 coming out next week.
Oh wow, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What do you think? This Thursday, on after the release of this episode, as you're listening to it.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot. I mean, I'm trying to think of like some of the, I would say, a few years ago, back when like Joker came out. I feel like there was also a time there where we're starting to get a lot of villain stuff.
Yeah.
And that was actually like a lot of what people were hyping up, what people were enjoying more were these villain stories or even villain redemption stories and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some good examples besides Joker. It's probably the best example, but.
That's probably the biggest one. I mean, that movie
dollars? I think like the reason we're getting. Yeah, I made it over $1 billion. The reason we're getting like things like Agatha, the Acolyte, is they're trying to capitalize on that, and they're just failing monumentously.
Right. And you have like the Penguin come out, and it's successful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
DC's, I mean, it's just one episode, but yeah, we'll DC's see where it goes.
Pretty
but...
good. Yeah, I think where it was starting, like why it started, we had these people that, I mean, well, these studios that just didn't have good ideas, so they're like, let's make stories about these villains, and they made redemption stories, people liked it, and then they're like, well, let's, oh, they like that, well, let's keep doing that, now we put this crap out and nobody likes it. And but I think the reason people were liking it is because we were at a time where they couldn't tell good hero stories where the heroes were actually struggling and had to have redemption themselves. And I think some of these heroes are really great because they can get into a morally gray area, and that's where, and they could even get dark, and then they redeem themselves, and that's what makes a great hero story. But they stopped doing that in hero stories. They just stopped doing that in many like superhero movies in particular. You just stop getting that like, this guy's good. He has his powers now. Now he's going into this morally gray area, maybe even dark area. Oh, he redeems himself and kills the bad guy. We stopped getting that. So, but what they did was they had a villain who was already in dark and redeems himself, or just gets the sympathy card, and people like that because it's like it's close to what they truly want, but it's just not what they really want.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's most of what's happening there. And then the studios just like it because they get to make these villains look like they're not actually villains, and everybody's
misunderstood.
Misunderstood. Everybody's a person. Everybody's victims. So you have that aspect of it too. I think that also makes people feel like, oh, like even though I'm living in my sin, like I'm a victim too. Like I don't have to feel bad about that. It's just the world around me that is the problem, not me.
But the raping and pillaging and murderous orcs, just they just want to have families. They just want to live in peace. Okay, that's all they want. They want to just have their little safe spaces with their little orc babies and raise a family. It's getting ridiculous. I think the reason that we're like it was like, you know, every once in a while, like I said with the Joker, but even surrounding that, what year did the Joker come out?
2019.
No, yeah, so
or okay, maybe around 18, that. 18 or 19.
Yeah, so what we had, you know, the Infinity Saga was concluding with
it'd be 19. Everything,
you know. Yeah. What? Yeah.
It's 19.
Okay. You still Marvel was doing their superhero stuff. You didn't have very many movies like that for the most part. And, you know, so Joker was like a one done thing, and it wasn't really being tried like that formula wasn't like there. Now they've taken that formula, like, oh, it worked. They made $1 billion. So now let's do it with everything. One, I think they're missing the point. Even the Joker, I think making a sequel of it is kind of proven they've like kind of missed the point. Like we're actually creating kind of sympathy for this character and kind of expanding upon the story that we've already set up that, you know, as we've talked about, can have some problems as far as, you know, making you feel bad for this murderous psychopath. Uh-huh. And but I think the biggest thing is, at least right now in our culture, is Hollywood doesn't know how to write good guys. They don't know how to write moral good heroes. That we don't have heroes anymore. I think that's reflected in our culture, where everyone's a victim, where everyone's just misunderstood. There are really no villains except for those that may actually be the good guys, because they hold to certain principles and beliefs that have been held to for centuries. We're the radicals, we're the villains. But and everyone's a victim. Everyone, there are systems in society. There are people in system. Well, there are systems placed in society that lead to the oppression and inequality of certain groups of those with certain skin colors and genders and such. Essentially, you know, we are in a culture that that doesn't have a moral compass, and that their morality is gray. And so guess what? They're producing morally gray characters, morally gray films. We don't have heroes anymore. Uh-huh. You know, you get like some movies like, you know, Top Gun Maverick, you know, which was a really good story, a very good masculine story with heroes in it. You get one that came to mind was Fall Guy. I don't know, that's like a good example, but like I think Fall Guys was a really good movie, and for a lot of reasons. I don't know why that came to mind, but I think even like it was like a perfect time for Dune to come out. I've been thinking about Dune a lot. I want to read the book again. I just love that book and those movies, but you know, Paul Atreides is a kind of a more like, he's not morally gray. He is a tragic character if you read the second book and just follow his arc throughout the stories. And I think they like are in a good place to do that, and they're trying to expand upon that story. You know, they're doing like a TV show about the Bene Jesuits and all that, whatever. But that was just another one that came to mind. Hollywood just doesn't know how to write good guys anymore, good heroes, because there aren't any in our culture. And so they write villain stories with morally gray characters that people can sympathize with. Is like, they're victimized. I'm victimized. Oh, I've been oppressed. Oh, I've been marginalized in society. Oh, I'm an outcast. This person's an outcast. Oh, I have terrible, wicked thoughts sometimes, but you know what? So does this guy. And this is how they deal with it, and so forth. And it's kind of a way also for people to vent, or like to cast their, like, this is, you know, gets into the conversation of horror, which I'm mm-hmm. always wanting to have, as far as like you project yourself upon these characters and like they become a scapegoat for you. They could become a sacrifice that you cast your sins upon them and they die in your place. The villain who is morally gray, they go and die in your place, or they go and are receive the consequences of their actions. When you don't have to, and you kind of like project upon yourself upon those characters, it's just really interesting how that happens and how it works. But like, I also think it doesn't. It there's also a reason why a lot of these stories aren't very popular. Joker was, yeah, it was very popular. I don't think it was for those reasons. I don't think Joker 2 is going to be that going to do that well. I really don't. We'll see. Okay. Agatha, not well. Penguin, you know, that's good. There's some senses where like Penguin isn't like it's. They're not graying morality in the show. They're making it pretty clear of what's good and what's evil, and they're just telling a story of this villain, but not in a way that like you still understand there is a difference between good and evil because Batman's in this world and because you and you're aware of that in the show. So it's just interesting how they do that, and I'm not saying they do it well, and I don't know where they're gonna go with the show. We'll see. It might be terrible. Agatha. Once again, like I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. Agatha, it's so funny how they've made this show for a certain demographic, but it's for a certain demographic that doesn't care about Marvel. Mm-hmm. Okay, they made a show for childless cat ladies.
Yeah.
Who, as I said, listen to Taylor Swift. All right, if you listen to Taylor Swift, this show is probably for you. But it's for women who are, middle-aged and probably have nothing going for them, sadly, who've wasted a lot of their life pursuing a career and not a family. And they're like, oh, hey, here's a show for you. But guess what? One thing they're missing in that is that those childless cat ladies who listen to Taylor Swift, they don't watch Marvel. They don't care about TV shows. So they're making a show and like, hey, here, this is for you. And it's like, well, they don't care. I guarantee you the views for this show are going to be awful. Like worse than The Acolyte. It's going to be terrible because this is for nobody. It's literally is for nobody because the demographic that they're trying to appeal to doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Those childless cat ladies who watch Marvel, it's not there. I mean, there are some weirdos out there that do watch it, and they gain an audience like Acolyte gained an audience of people mostly who are just activists who just are hate the people that hate that don't like the content that's being produced. So they're like, we're gonna support this show even though we probably didn't watch it and we probably didn't actually care about the characters of the story, but because you hate it, we're gonna say, oh, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened since sliced bread.
Yep.
So it's ridiculous where things have come to with these stories and this in our culture, but it's mirrored in our culture. This is what we are reaping what we've sowed in a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all what and where's it all going to lead? Where's it going? Well, it's all going to die. It can't last. Oh, speaking of like morally gray things, like okay, Acolyte, the Sith are misunderstood and the Jedi are actually kind of corrupt and evil, you know? So like the heroes are now the villains. Go to the Rings of Power. Okay. A show that has a very, based on a property that has a very clear morality, a very clear understanding of what's good and what's evil. And what they've done is they've now created this world where in the world of Tolkien, in the world of Middle Earth, now morality is gray. The heroes. I get so frustrated with this show, and I can move on. I can get on with my life. I don't really care. It's just when I see this happening to this property that I love and that I appreciate most of my life. But like with the orcs, like these orcs that are villains, that are evil, that are wicked, they are rapists, they terrorize, they pillage and kill people. They're just misunderstood. Like, and they just want to live at peace. They just want to have families. You have the orc dad protecting his orc wife and his orc children. And then you have, and then the leader of the orcs, Adar, he is in where they're at the show. He is now making an alliance with Galadriel. First off, Galadriel, who's been an awful character, she's, I think, is pretty much the villain of the show and all the choices she makes and all they're doing. But this very moral, feminine character, filled a very beautiful character. She is pretty much turned into a man in the show. She, you know, a lot of people call her Galadriel for a reason. They've pretty much turned her into a man. She acts like a man. She talks like a man. She interacts with other men like she's a man, and she fights like a man. And well, she's actually no, actually doesn't. She's better than all the men. But they turned her into this character that is just unlikable, that is annoying, that makes terrible decisions. She's just dumb. Okay, mm-hmm. The character. You know, the actress. I'm sure she's great. She's fine. I'm not nothing against the actress. This is a character. The character is just dumb. She makes terrible decisions. She has caused this chaos in Middle Earth to the point where now the orcs and the elves are at a war with one another, but she's aligning with the orcs while they're trying to go after Sauron and making alliances, and it's just all convoluted and really confusing and is ridiculous and stupid. And then you get Elrond, who comes in and kisses Galadriel.
Tobias, do you know why that's a problem?
Yeah.
Elrond will go on to marry Galadriel's daughter. This is his mother-in-law, and they make out in the freaking show. Like, what in the world are they doing? But like, that's the thing, is their ship, there's, it's all this modernization of shipping and the biggest thing is Sauron's like this, become this like thirst trap for women where oh my goodness. Amazon Prime tweeted this picture where it's like, I don't remember what they said, but it was like a picture of Sauron. It showed one picture from the back where his hair is like in a bow or like tied up. It's really weird. And in the front, he's like, he was got his menacing looks. So he was like menacing in the front and like glamorous in the back or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Amazon's actually promoting in the promotion for the show. They like were tweeting out, Galadriel, and I don't know, whatever the shortened name for Galadriel and Halbrand is, pretty much shipping them together. Like, Amazon's doing this. This is Galadriel being shipped with Sauron, the devil. Like, what in the world? Like, she's fraternizing with the enemy. She's lusting after the enemy, and we're supposed to think this is a great, beautiful thing that we're supposed to, be interested in, be intrigued, and can't wait where see where it goes, and whether or not she's gonna fall for the devil. First off, where's her husband? He's nowhere to be found. Where's her daughter? She's supposed to have a daughter in this time. In the second age. Where's her daughter? Well, not there. Oh, right. The daughter that's supposed to marry Elrond. And it says she's kissing Elrond. And Tom Bombadil.
So wild.
Like, I swear, Tom Bombadil, I don't understand what they're doing. But
Is he in it pretty heavily?
Not really. I mean, I think he's...
But he still pops done. Up or what?
Yeah, he still pops up. Like, he was in, like, two episodes. I think he's done because he, like, disappeared.
Mm.
But also, he's in a part of Middle-earth where he's literally not supposed to be, and he would never have been, like, according to Tolkien, because he just stays in his realm. But he decides to go way out east to meet with not Gandalf, but absolutely Gandalf. But it's just this gray morality. There's no clear understanding of who the heroes are. I've talked about how they hate patriarchy in the show. Every single patriarch is pretty much summed up as just a bubbling idiot, a stubborn, bubbling idiot who's just leading his people astray.
What's going to happen with War of the Rohirrim. That's exactly what they're doing with the king in that one. He's going to be a stubborn, bubbling idiot.
Probably.
Who just is probably hungry for war or something.
Yeah.
He's just going to be stubborn and...
I have better hopes for that. Like, he's the only, like, his character's the only thing that I have hopes for, as far as them handling it well, where he's actually maybe a good father and a good patriarch. Because in the trailer, you know, he's protecting his kingdom and he gets attacked and he's like, okay, I'm going to defend myself and my
yeah, but he has a daughter. And he has a daughter that won't even listen to him. So
true. So
how good can he be?
Go off and be herself, and there's
she's
going to
be,
no
be rebellious and yeah.
I know. I saw they played the trailer in the theaters when I went and saw. What did I see? I think Am I Racist? Anyways, I was like, man, I just want this to be good, but it's not good.
Yeah. Right, yeah. What else is going on?
I mean, there's a lot. Well, they released a trailer for the spinoff. I think it's a show. It's called Ballerina. It's a spinoff of John Wick.
Oh yeah.
But guess what, everyone? You know, in case you were looking for this, you got John Wick. But what if we had? You ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
Female John Wick.
A female version. Yeah.
What if we had?
That's what we've been wanting.
Had a John Wick with a vagina.
That's exactly what everybody was thinking as soon as they saw John Wick and saw how great it was. They're like, why isn't this a female? Let's make a female version.
Are you kidding me? Like, I didn't even watch the trailer. It's like, I don't care. Like, yeah. I'm all for expanding the world of John Wick, because I actually really like the John Wick movies. I think 4 is actually incredibly well-done movie, and there's some elements of it that I don't like as far as the story, but it's actually a story about a father and a husband. He has a dog. But anyways, story about a husband who fights for the beauty of marriage and his love for his wife after her death and so forth. Like the first movie, as far as like, it's not just about, oh, his dog died, now he's going to take revenge. There's a lot more to it. And then they obviously expand from it and go through three more other films. And the fourth one's just really good. I like it for a lot of reasons, but a lot of good symbolism and imagery in that movie. A spinoff show about a female John Wick. It's like, I'm not interested. I don't think anyone's really interested.
I don't know why they're doing that.
Well, because that's what we do now.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. So dumb.
Yeah. So take a good, if you got a good masculine character, you need another masculine character that's a woman.
Yep.
I think that was pretty much it. Well, so there was this other thing, which is like kind of a good thing, but also a bad thing. Good thing, and like, oh wow, this would have been really cool, but they didn't go this way. Famous YouTuber Star Wars Theory. He's mm-hmm. like the biggest Star Wars YouTuber out there. Mm-hmm. He interviewed the original writer for the Obi-Wan Kenobi trilogy. So the guy that he worked on a movie that you and I like a lot. I didn't write it down. What was it? It's a movie that you and I both like that you'd be really surprised he was the writer for it. Man, I wish I remembered. I'll have to come back next week and tell you guys, because I don't remember what it was. So anyways, he's a good writer. So Lucasfilm, you know, was looking to do, you know, various spinoffs. They're working on Rogue One. They're going to do Solo. And they're like, okay, what else can we do? And they weren't actually thinking about doing an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie or show mm-hmm. or anything. But this guy came to them. He actually came in. He pitched. His name's Stuart. I'm going to butcher his last name, but Beatty. Stuart. Mm-hmm. Let's call him Stuart. He wrote, or I think he outlined a trilogy that he wanted for Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's like, okay, there's a story that can be told here. You you have like, you know, what, 20 something years in between A New Hope or Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. You know, there are stories to be told here. How, you know, especially in the aftermath of Revenge of the Sith and all that happens, and what does it look like for him to deal with that guilt of you know, raising up the greatest Sith Lord in the galaxy, and now he's tasked with raising a new hope, you know, the only hope that that there is for the galaxy in Luke, and what's it mean for him to now have to watch over, protect, and then eventually train this future Jedi who's going to overthrow the Sith. So like, what does it look like for him to really wrestle through that and work through that? And so he came up with a story. He did include Vader. Vader was a big prominent, like, the Obi-Wan and Vader did meet, and he said they have to meet. And this is because, like, for a while I was like, I don't think it was right to have Obi-Wan Kenobi and Vader fight again or even meet again before A New Hope. But because of a line in Return of the Jedi, I think it makes sense, because Luke, when Luke's walking with his father on Endor, and he says, you know, there is still good in you, father. And he says, Obi-Wan once believed that too. Now, if you go back to Revenge of the Sith, it wouldn't make any sense for, there wasn't enough time for Obi-Wan to really acknowledge it. Like, oh, I still see good in you. Like, no, he's just turned to the dark side. He's just murdered all these younglings. He's, you know, become a complete psychopath. I need to end him. I need to kill him, and so forth. There wasn't like, oh, but they're still good or anything. It was like he was accepting that. So it seems like there has to be another meeting of them at one point. So because that one line, yeah, okay, it can fit. It can work. So anyways, he pitched the story, and it was, guess what? It wasn't the Reva show. It was the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie trilogy, okay? And Lucasfilm's like, okay, let's do this. Like, we like this. So they're like, okay, we'll work with this script and we'll figure something out. However, Solo happened and it bombed, didn't make any money. So like, we're going to go in a different direction. These Solo projects with characters, just people aren't interested. Of course, problem with Solo is that they released at the wrong time. It was right after The Last Jedi, and it was kind of a movie that no one was really asking for. So, Kenobi movie, that would have been huge. It would have been incredible if it was good.
Yeah.
But this guy, he grew up watching all the movies. He saw the original trilogy in theaters as a kid. He's a fan. The thing is, Disney, like Lucasfilm, they don't hire fans anymore. They hire, well, Disney in general, they hire activists. They hire people that, well, they have DEI hires, of course. Just watch The Acolyte. That was all DEI hires, especially Lizzie Headland, because she's a queer woman. So she checks off some boxes. But they care more about diversity and activism than they do about people that actually just love the characters and love the stories and want to tell a good story based off the characters. This guy, he you can tell he understands the character Obi-Wan. He loves Obi-Wan and he wanted to tell a story. But Disney's like, no, we're not going to do that. And so when they did with the TV show, like, okay, well, let's come back. Let's do a TV show. And they said, well, we're not going to work with this guy, but we'll look at his script and then we'll take bits and pieces from it, which is basically what they did. Yeah. They took like some general elements and then completely butchered it, and then of course threw Reva in there. One thing that was cool is Commander Cody was really prominent in his trilogy, which I was hoping would happen in the show. That didn't happen. And yeah, so, I don't know, it was just
so cool. He wrote one movie script from his trilogy, or three scripts from his trilogy?
I guess I didn't understand. He outlined the trilogy. He did at least write one script for the life of the first movie.
It was going to be a trilogy?
It was going to be a
trilogy. Just like the books, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Wait, what books?
His books?
Whose books?
Wait, maybe I missed something.
What books? Sorry. I don't know.
From the Kenobi books?
Oh, there's one. There's one. Well, there's one Kenobi book. Okay. And I think he did draw a lot of elements from that. Yeah, there's just one Obi-Wan Kenobi book. Okay. But
wait. Okay, so I must have missed something.
Sorry, this has nothing to do with the novel.
Oh, okay.
This is just a guy who's a movie. He writes movie. Okay. He writes scripts and. He pitched it to Lucasfilm.
Oh, okay. Is that the guy that you said, the John Jackson Miller?
No, it's just Stuart Beatty.
Oh, okay. And so this is the guy that you said wrote something.
Yeah, he did. He wrote a movie, but
Stuart.
Yeah, but apparently it was something weird. He didn't get credit for it because of some legal thing. But he's like the original writer, so you're actually not gonna be able to find what was where his it name? Is. Stuart Beatty, so Beattie.
Okay.
So it's a good interview. You should listen to it. Yeah. It's really cool. It's on Star Wars Theories page. But it just shows like this is what happens when you let activists write stories and. Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. Oh, looks like he might have been a writer on Australia.
Huh.
Hugh Jackman.
He wrote Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
Ah. Oh, wait, and Dead Man's Chest. And At World's End. Yeah. No, there's no way he did Dead Man Tell No Tales and On Strange Tales. I don't. Oh, that was it. 310 to Yuma. That was it. Yeah, I think he wrote or worked on maybe it was another one. At least that was one of the things that he brought up. But 310 to Yuma, he was heavily involved with writing. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Huh.
I almost had 310 to Yuma on our movie reviews
season. Yeah.
It's a good one.
I've had some sort of regrets, maybe. Like, I'm like, that would have been a good
with movie, your choices.
I think.
Yeah.
There's a few M. Night Shyamalan movies. So I'm like, because I'm watching through them right now.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is a really good movie.
Which ones?
Well, my big three are Signs, The Village, and The Sixth Sense. Those are like the three that my three go-tos. And all three of those are just really great movies. And even knowing like his twist, like, man, the Village is so good. Like it still tells such a great story. 'Cause like when you watch it and you know what the parents know, the founders of the town, like,
yeah,
when you know what they know, like, you still can tell this, like, you can still understand this story, and it's still telling a really great story of how they're trying to hide it and why they did it and just all these different aspects to it. And that movie probably should have been on my top 10. Another Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Yeah, true.
Joaquin Phoenix.
We got another Morgan Freeman movie next.
Yeah, that's true.
Seven.
Yep. All right. We should probably
wrap it up.
An end.
I think so.
Well.
To look forward, you know, considering where we're at, like, okay, what did we talk about today? You know, we live in a morally gray culture and I say morally gray as far as like, there is no sense of morality, and what's really is we live in a wicked culture, and we live in a culture filled with where villains are winning and in a sense reigning, at least from the outside. It's like what we need is we need heroes. We need stories about heroes. We need stories about men and women who do the right thing and who stand up for what is right and that stand against wickedness and evil and tyranny in our culture and inspire us towards goodness, truth, and beauty. And that's one thing we're lacking. And we want to tell good stories and make movies and TV shows and books and all sorts of things about heroes and, well, yeah, people that are, you know, that are heroic and that do the right thing and inspire others towards goodness. So.
For sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I guess that about wraps it up.
Yep.
Remember to glorify God and watch good movies. We're out.
Bye. We are out. Bye-bye.